All right, and welcome. Here we are. We're back.
Yep.
With That's Interesting. And I'm Bill.
And I'm Brian.
And let's talk.
Yeah.
We got a bunch. So, yeah, this past week's been fun-filled for me. I've been out trying to look for a vehicle. Vehicle prices are still kind of crazy.
Yeah, they have come down a good bit, like from what they used to be. But,
yeah.
Of course, I may be looking at the same vehicles that I was a year ago. But it seems like they have come down.
Yeah, they've maybe come down, but I just don't understand the world we live in price-wise,
yeah,
where people are buying trucks for $80,000 and financing them for 10 years.
Yeah.
No, I am not looking in that range.
Yeah.
You know, they finally gave me the valuation on my truck after our accident a few weeks back. And so, I mean, I just don't like car payments. And so I am not into really having another car that I'm paying for monthly.
Yeah.
So I just want to pay cash for
right.
something. And it's been a challenge.
And it's difficult to get vehicles repaired because the parts aren't there. And still, you know, we're still ramping up from that. You know, this election, I think, I hope, will change a lot of that. Should. Change
the
a lot
flow
of, that.
Of manufacturing and we'll see. So it's been interesting navigating that whole process and just kind of seeing how insurance works. Thankfully, it was the other person's
right
liability insurance that we were working with and not our own. I don't know. What's your experience insurance with kids?
I mean, we've really not had too much issue Ella got in a little fender bender that, you know, we weren't going to even file it on the insurance because we didn't want to have the insurance go up, but, you know, ended up filing it. I don't know. Insurance has just gotten crazy, I think, across the board. It's ridiculous. I pay almost $600 a month for our house and for our vehicle's insurance. And, I mean, then you feel bad to file anything because they're going to raise your rates.
Well,
and
that's the trick.
Yeah.
That's the hook is go ahead, file something.
Yeah.
We dare you because we will increase your your monthly premium the second you do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, tickets, I think, do make it go up more, which is kind of because they're not paying anything out for a ticket. It's a crazy thing. I mean, I just got my business building insurance, and it went up. I think I was paying $1,600 a year for the business building. It's not a huge building.
Mm-hmm.
But paying $1,600 a year, and it went up to $2,800 just in 1 year.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And they can just do it.
Yeah.
They can just be like, here, we're going to raise that.
Yep.
And there's this it's like a conspiracy, and we're not even in the conspiracy zone yet, but it's like a conspiracy between the tax assessors and the insurance companies.
Yep.
And hey, you just keep raising the value of these houses, and then we can start charging them more for insurance.
And then the government gets more tax money. I mean, it's all, I think a lot of it just comes from the government, and they're just trying to, get as much money as they can. And this is a backdoor way to get as much money as they can from every person. And I think there is a concerted effort to make people renters, just make everybody renters.
Well, I will tell you just a little first-time homeowner advice. Early on, after we had bought a home, one of the hurricanes blew through and some water came in through the roof vent and onto one of the ceilings of one of our rooms. So I thought, I don't know. When do you file something?
Yeah.
When is it worth that? I don't know. So I called the insurance company basically with a question like, is this something I should file for?
Right.
So they start asking me, well, how big is it? And I told them the I have no idea what they were, but I told them the dimensions and all this. And so I get off the phone, or we're wrapping up, and she says, well, with the dimensions and what it is, she's like, that would be under your deductible. So just go ahead and fix it yourself. And so I thought, okay, I'll pay to fix it, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward years later, we move out of that house. We move back to Pennsylvania. We bought another house up there, and I go to get insurance. And my agent says, oh, I see you had a claim filed against your insurance at your previous house.
What in the world?
I was like, what? And he said, yeah, you had a claim back in, he said, the year. And I'm like, I called my insurance company one time to ask them if I should file a claim on this. So here's your life lesson, first-time home buyers. Don't even call your insurance company about small things.
Yeah.
Because they will apply it. You will get claims filed against your insurance, which will raise your rates if you ever change companies. Like, it's wild.
It really is.
But they use all of that to have an excuse to give you higher rates. Yeah. I will tell you, with our kids, we have six kids, so we've been through a lot of teen drivers.
Yeah.
And I've paid to fix a lot of dents and bumpers.
Right.
And I just pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know what they will do.
Right.
The second I file anything on my insurance. And so I just pay out of pocket and fix a little dent or a bumper. Some people are gracious. Some people not so much.
Right.
And so, that's just the way it works, though.
Yep.
You cannot file a claim, or they're going to bring the freaking hammer down.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. And like I said, it just seems like across the board, they're all just raising everything to where it's almost unaffordable to just even own cars and own a house, you know. It's crazy.
It is. Even in the, I mean, even as far as health insurance goes, you look at all the major insurance players, like none of them are filing bankruptcy.
Right.
Like they're all making significant money. They're cutting what they pay to providers.
Making you pay more.
Yes, and providers pay more.
Right, and that all started with Obamacare, and people can say, oh, that helped. I'm telling you, across the board, you're going to have 90% of people that it just really did a number on, and we were one of those people.
Yeah.
Where we paid like $280 a month for full coverage.
Yeah. Well, you look at the – I mean, there were good things that it did, but – some of those good things like pre-existing conditions
and keeping kids on insurance, those were some good things.
They are good, but they're necessarily going to increase the cost because insurance companies used to just say, oh, hey, you've been sick. We're not going to insure you.
Well, our premium over tripled and our deductible went up like 10 times what it was. And that was the cheapest thing we could get.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a difficult position as healthcare providers because I know in my world, you might have one company that pays you, I mean, not even enough to cover the cost of your staffing. And then you have another company who pays you more that allows you to actually function and pay your staff and maybe even make a slight profit, but you have to balance that out. So you can only have one cost that you bill, and so you have to have your cost above what that highest payer is. And that's just the way it works.
Well, and I mean, not, you know, trying to avoid politics you know, as much as we can, but we're all getting.
We're going to get into it.
And that is, Kamala has said multiple times, she wants a single payer system.
Yeah.
She wants a single, and understand, if we go to a single payer system, oh, hey, it's great. Everything's going to be covered. The problem is you will not have providers, because if it goes to a single payer system and we have to go to what we get paid from the government, Medicare, I'd have to get three times the number of people in my door to be able to function.
So you're going to be waiting for visits. You're going to be waiting for...
If you can find a provider that...
Even urgent and emergent care.
Yeah.
And it's going to really... I don't envision them going to a single-payer government system. It will be like most of the other countries that have private, sort of a separate private system and a government system, where you get a lower quality product in the government system, and then the wealthy have the separate private payer system. And so, I mean, that's what it moves towards in all these countries that have government-funded healthcare. So, it'll be interesting to see what direction it takes. Yeah. So.
We definitely need to, in our country, do. And I know this kind of hits into the what we're going to talk about in the conspiracy, but we've got to do better with our healthcare. I mean, I think a lot of people are waking up to the realization that healthcare in America is horrible. I mean, just go look up the statistics of what rank are we?
We're reactive.
Yeah.
We're a reactive healthcare system. We're not a preventative healthcare system.
And
part of that is our population, not just the U.S.
Right.
I think it's probably everywhere, because preventative is harder.
Oh, yeah.
It's harder for the individual.
Yeah, and even to the point of, like, we're kind of going this direction, but even to the point of, like, our food. Like,
well, yes, we're going to,
And, you know, there's just so much that is, we're getting sicker. The care is always a reactive, like you said, instead of, and even if you do try and eat healthy now, it's just difficult, because the same stuff that we're eating now didn't have the chemicals and stuff on it that it did back when we were growing up, you know? So,
yeah,
but
yeah, it's tough in that world. But I mean, that's a healthcare system where we just, react to a disease rather than doing what we can to prevent it. So, yeah, so a big part of what we're talking about costs, we're talking about insurance, and one of the things we've been dealing with, actually just having conversations today, was college costs as well. We're both in that world right now. We are, next year we will have four children, three in undergraduate and one in graduate school.
Yeah.
And that has been an interesting time of life to navigate.
Yeah.
And each one is individual for sure, but I thought we could just talk about how do you navigate that? How do you get through that? Because really, it's a phase of life.
Yeah.
Like, it's a moment in time, or maybe, you know, 10 years moment in time.
Yeah.
where you're trying to help your kids navigate, because obviously the ideal is they can get through and not have any debt afterwards, or have a plan to figure out how to get out of it ASAP if they do come through with some debt. So I don't know. Did you guys go in with much of a plan? What did you guys do on the front end going in with the kids?
It was ours was, we did not discuss that nearly as thoroughly as we should have. And so, you know, when we went into it, of course, you know, I just was thinking, hey, like, I paid for my own school. From start to finish, you know, mom and dad helped a little bit there at the beginning, but I mean,
get some Pell grants, get some,
I mean, I paid for my school the whole way through and had to get loans and had to pay for it afterwards. So my thought was, you know, that's what our kids are going to do. And Marla's experience was that her parents paid for it. So, you know, when we came to it, I mean, we are, you know, when we got to the discussion point, we are doing what Marla's parents did.
So, you know,
the good thing is, you know, Ella has done really well with her grades. So that has helped a lot. She's, you know, we probably won't have to really pay too much of anything for her next year, which will be nice. And then Bryson this next year, I mean, he did well this summer in his summer job doing some sales. And so next year, if he does the same thing, then, you know, they would, we're going to bump him up in the company. And so he should do really well to the point where he said, you know, if he does that again, he'd pay for his own. I don't want them to have debt when they come out of school. So, you know, we've been blessed where we can help them as much as we're able to. And the, yeah, it's, I mean, it definitely kind of put some things on hold for us where, you know,
It's the natural flow, I think, of that time of life. We made some preparation, obviously, with six kids. We had to come to a conclusion of, you know, what it, what is going to be our ability without unlimited income,
right?
To try and help our kids, but understand that it, there was not going to be enough there to pay for all of their education.
Right.
So we kind of took a early on approach of, hey, we're going to set aside in a 529, and I would recommend a 529 for anybody out there listening that that doesn't necessarily have a plan or has young kids. A 529 just puts money into a mutual fund. They're available through every state. Some states' plans are better than others. You have more options with some states over others. We're using Alabama's plan, which is collegecounts529.com. You can look that up. But it provides you with some options to invest things in. And you know, you can talk to an advisor about, you know, where is the best option to put things in. It's a pretty simple... I used a pretty simple formula, honestly. I go by Dave Ramsey, and he says separate them into four funds. You want a growth, an aggressive growth, a growth in income, and an international fund. And so that's what I did. I found four separate funds. I looked them up and wanted, for the most part, like a 15-year history on them, on their Morningstar rating. And when I found funds that met that and had been gaining at least 10% a year, I invested in those. And for the most part, the market grows at about a 10% a year. We've had some down years, obviously, during COVID and things like that. There were some down times, especially during the last 4 years. But on average, on average, it does grow at 10% a year. And so we made good interest on most of our kids' accounts. It gave them something to work from. And then they've all worked while they were in college as well, which puts some money towards that. Josh took some student loans. He went to a little more expensive school, a private school, and even while he was in college and took those loans, though, his job, he was paying the interest on those loans. So the pathway looks a little different, although they all have the same amount going in, it all looks a little different, just like your experience with, you know, if one does really well on the ACT, they get a little more merit scholarship from some of the schools out there. So it can look a little different for each one. But I, and I think that's the thing as a parent too. Sometimes we get pigeonholed into this thought that kids have to go for 4 years. They have to get done in 4 years. They you know, and there's a lot of different pathways out there that end up with the same degree. Or if college is not the option, like a trade school or something like that. But
hey, that's I've told people, like, I mean, because Bryson, you know, is trying to decide what he wanted to do, and Ella too. I mean, you just have to look at the what are your plans for a family? What are your plans for your job? Like, and is that job that you're going to get, does it pigeonhole you? You know, I was talking with some people the other day, like, the higher degree you get, it actually with Andy and Bryson and all them at Ella's birthday thing, the higher degree you get, you're kind of really specializing, narrowing your field, your options of what you can do. And so, you know, what do you want to do? And do you want to do that forever? And, like, you know, there's a lot to consider. And then the money that you're putting in to go to graduate school and all those things. So,
Return on investment. Yeah. What's it going to do for you?
And you said about investing too. Like, that app that tells you what politicians are investing in, highly recommend to look into that if you want to do
what's
a little bit
of the app.
Oh, what is it? I can't remember.
We'll come back with that.
Yeah, look it up though. There's a app that will tell you what the and the best producing stock that I have, which I only put a little bit into it because I was like, I'm just gonna check and see how this does. Is my bot stock? I'm up, like, I want to say it is like 2,000% in my Nancy Pelosi stock.
That's a pretty good return.
It's ridiculous. It might not be too. It's a lot. I know it's a lot. I think I invested like $500, and it's up to like $4,500 right now. So.
I mean, and all that though goes back to, like, just talking about government, talking about politics. Yeah. Like, I mean, the paying of student loans. Like, look, I'm not. I don't want people to be in debt, and I feel for people who got, like, really bad advice over the years.
Right.
Like, when the whole $10,000 that Biden was pushing for and people's stories started coming out, I had someone that I knew from high school, and I read that story, and they had $22,000 in student loan debt coming out of undergrad. I mean, they changed their mind about what they wanted to do.
Right.
And then they consolidated.
Yeah.
And they, anytime they could defer, they deferred and didn't pay on it.
Right.
Well, that $22,000 that they just sort of let there and just paid the minimum of what they had to pay was now $80,000.
Right. Yeah.
So that's bad advice, people. Right. Like, don't, if you can help it, don't consolidate your loan.
Right.
Don't, I mean, it does take a little bit of pain to, like, just bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And pay what you can pay, and pay above what your payment is, and just look at a budget of how you can do it and get out of it. You know, if it's, there's lots of people, I forget what the average was, but the average student loan was like, it was under $10,000.
Yeah.
So looking at how we spend our money, like, most people, if they looked at their budget and didn't just spend like they were the government, then they could get under $10,000 probably paid off in a year.
Yeah.
But people get themselves so paycheck to paycheck that they don't see a way to do that.
Well, and I think too, like, I mean, be humble. Like, when we first got married, we lived with grandmother. Then we lived with Marla's parents for a little bit.
Yeah.
We lived in a free house that one of my buddies let me us live in for a little bit. Like, there were things that we did that you have to just, and you,
it's,
I know,
pathway.
You did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah, we lived with mom and, like, dad for a minute.
Yeah.
We,
and a lot of people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that you see as well off now, you know, that some people see as well off now, and they go, oh, well, look at that. They've got, and a lot of times you don't see the, hey, we drove a car that was 15 years old. That was just, I mean, it was ugly. It just, we borrowed, drove borrowed cars for years. It's those things that you do because I'm not here to be in debt. Like I'm not here to be in debt.
Right.
So the, yeah, just doing those things just to do what you need to do because that's what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly, I would think I speak for most people who didn't go to college that as taxpayers,
yeah,
they would rather not their money
right.
go to pay for other people's college who went to college when they didn't go.
Right.
And so,
well, and even us who did go, I don't want to, I paid mine off and you paid yours off.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Pay for your own.
It took a minute. Yeah. But you do what you do have to do, and you bite the bullet, and that's, it is hard. It's just like we were talking about in healthcare, though, being preventative rather
right.
than reactive. Preventative's harder, and there's lots of things in life that are, they're harder, but they're going to get you to a better place than sitting under the weight of debt for whatever period of your life, or maybe your whole life,
right.
where you're sort of strapped down with that. So, that's, I'm anxious to see what develops, if the other, side who wants to, pay off student loans, takes control. So, Yeah, so the other thing taking our money nowadays, we got a lot of money grab going on today in the podcast. So, youth sports.
Oh my gosh.
We've also both kind of dealt with that over the years.
Still a little bit. I
yes.
mean,
yeah. Still, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers, soccer.
Yeah.
7-on-7 football.
Yeah. Baseball with Bryson.
Baseball. That was... Yeah. We did a little bit of travel baseball when we were in Pennsylvania. You know, it is, I don't know. I think we all as parents sort of go into it with the mindset of, hey, those major leaguers had to be children at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something had to click inside them. And so as parents, we want to provide our children
right.
with every opportunity. And I think there are people out there that they see the financial opportunity of that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it used to just be you had this one sort of all-star team that traveled or you know, was a select team that traveled. And then these bigger clubs and organizations started creating multi-tiers of like, we have our ultra-talented that we've selected team up here.
Yeah.
Oh, but we can find a place for you here or here or here. And, you know, then it just... I don't know.
And the thing is that, I mean, it really has taken the fun out of a lot of it for the kids.
Yeah.
And it's also created, I mean, you and I both, the number of injuries from just repetitive stress in the same direction from these kids. Like, that's one thing I told Marla when Bryson was playing baseball and, you know, we were having all these opportunities that were coming up and well, he wants to play. I said, yeah, he's always going to want to play. Like, our biggest, the biggest thing that we're going to have trouble doing is keeping him from playing because he's always going to want to. And so, you know, but when we were growing up, it was 3 months of football, 3 months of wrestling or basketball, and 3 months of baseball.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah. Like, it is hard to play two sports
nowadays.
Just because the demand for for time and your attention is so high for every sport that it's just tough to, I mean, and Josh, when we were in Pennsylvania, he was playing soccer and football at the, they were in the same season in Alabama. Now they're two different seasons, so our kids can do that a little easier, but it's tough. But there's a guilt feeling, you know, that your child is not gonna keep up if if they're not playing in this league or on this travel team or
there's some that encourage that to the point where if you don't do the travel team, then you know you're who knows if you're going to play next season,
right?
You know, for me, that happens a lot.
For sure.
You know, it is a,
it's a hard balance. And it's expensive as parents. Yeah, there's so many. You know, we've talked about the cell phone thing. We talked about but travel sports is a, you know, you got to navigate that. You have to communicate well as husband and wife, and decide like, what are we going to commit to this? Right. What, and I think, I don't know, there's obviously kids that you go to any tournament, you go to, any of these, what do they call them, where they gather and the college showcases, that's the word I was looking for. You go to a showcase and there are kids that set themselves apart. You go.
Yeah.
That kid is different.
Yep.
Either because of their size, because of their
hustle, their ability.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Their ability. You can tell those kids that are going to go to the next level and play. And obviously, there are kids that work hard and they get there. I think that's probably few and far between. Yeah. But there are just those elite kids that genetically they have an advantage there, and they're just naturally talented.
Right.
And, we've learned a lot through, the football showcases and camps and things like that. And there's a lot that goes into recruiting, especially at the D1 level, like the camps and things obviously play a big role, but if you're elite in size and speed and your measurables, you really, even if you don't perform as well on the field, if you've got the measurables, that's going to set you apart for the, D1 level.
And that's the thing is like a lot of it is just looking at now a lot of it. And it, I guess it used to be because Moneyball is all about, they just looked at the measurables. They just looked at those things. And then Moneyball, they were like, hey, this guy has been this consistent this whole time, but he doesn't stand out. He's not one of these. He's not the fastest, but he does this. And Moneyball was a good movie. Did you watch that?
I don't think I've seen that. It was, I mean, was it Woody Harrelson? Is that who's in that?
I want to say he's one of them, but then Brad Pitt. It was a good movie because, there's those guys that just do amazingly athletic guys, but then there's also the ones that they're just good at their sport.
And
they were being overlooked in Moneyball, and so he went and built a team, and they almost won the World Series.
And it was based on a
true story.
That's what I was thinking.
It was good.
It's been interesting, though, you know, just seeing, again, going and kind of being shoulder to shoulder with these D1 kids and looking at D1 programs, and if you're 6'5", and you're relatively fast, and you know you can move athletically,
you're 250, 6'5", and you can run.
Yeah,
You're going somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're above 6'2", I feel like you stand out in the crowd automatically. And so just interesting, you know, things to, as parents, that we navigate and try and figure out the best way to kind of lead our kids through as well. So kind of circling back here, we talked a little bit ago about healthcare and being a reactive system and just where we are with our food and everything else. And it was making me think back a few years to when our mom was diagnosed with melanoma that probably went on a little longer than it should have before being looked at. But it was in the lymph nodes, and she did not want to do chemotherapy, which, you know, we had a long discussion about that back then, I can recall, and just figuring out as a family and as siblings, like, how to communicate and approach that with our mom. But but it was eye-opening, just the whole system of healthcare regarding cancer as well. And so I guess, are we taking this into the conspiracy zone?
We can. Probably a lot of people are going to get... I mean, it's a touchy...
Because it's people's life.
Right.
Like, it's life and death, really.
And the thing is that when you start getting into it and you look at, like, I mean, start going back and just look. We know they lied a bunch about COVID. Like, a ton we were lied to. We were lied to about what it was. We were lied to about the cure. We were lied to about everything. And so when you start looking and you look at, I mean, really just the way things are... Our whole healthcare revolves around the pharmaceutical industries. They're not multi-billion dollar a year companies.
Well, and we've created that a little bit too, because people want an easy fix.
Yeah. Well,
they want something that takes care of this right. I have a pain. I have an illness. My child has an illness. Like, people want things. And there's a lot of societal dynamics that go into that too. That, and again, I don't want it taken the wrong way, that, like, I'm not anti women in the workforce.
Right.
That's not how I want this to be interpreted. But the reality is, when we were kids and we got sick, we laid on the couch and we stayed home from school, and mom probably wet a washcloth and slung it around in the air a little bit to cool it off. And then she put it on our forehead and we laid on the couch for a day or two because she was home.
Yeah.
And so it was easy for us to just stay home for a day or two.
Well, and then, I mean, I think, then you just scroll it back a little bit further to, yes, that, but also, like, why are we getting so sick? Like, I think back there's, and you can pull up the quotes from, and the writings from doctors back at the turn of into the 1900s. And they said that they never saw a cancer patient in like 20 and 40 years of practice that these doctors have been practicing. They never saw a cancer patient until they came out with the cowpox vaccine. And then they started seeing cancer. And then you start looking at, why are we so sick in America? And you look at the vaccine schedules, and I know this gets into controversial things, but it's just, at some point we have to question and go, why are all these kids, we didn't have autistic kids running around when we were in school.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I don't take quite as hard line of an approach as you do with your kids, which is fine. We just have different approaches there. But we were along the lines of, A, we're going to do the vaccinations that are required by school.
Right.
That's the, and we're going to do them on our schedule.
Right.
We're not giving our child, our 3-month-old baby, 10 shots
right.
when they come in. We're just not doing that. And so we're going to spread them out
right.
and that's how we're going to do it. Or we'll go to another doctor that will.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not anti-vaccine completely.
Yeah.
I'm just pro being educated about what you're doing
yeah.
with
well,
your
and,
kids.
And my, and I know we've had this discussion before, and my question is always, if you did it differently than what they said, why did you do it differently than what you said, what they said? Because mm-hmm. you didn't feel like something was right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones that are saying that's what we need. This is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So they're the experts. They're the scientists. Trust the science. Like, and so we have all this that doesn't make sense. And when we were growing up, we only needed like 7 vaccines.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
how many they required kids to get now?
Too many.
It's like 72.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
what
Our,
happened?
Ours did not have
yeah,
that.
What happened was in the late 80s.
Now you had COVID on top of it.
Yes. In the late 80s, when you can go and look up all this information. There is one industry that you cannot sue if your child or you get injured or killed by a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing that you can no longer sue for.
Yeah.
So you can go through the government and the government foots the bill for it.
Yeah.
But, and there's some nuances to that. And I understand all the nuances to it. I get it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that we just keep getting sicker and sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the history of those things,
it doesn't make sense because you look back at even during while COVID was at its peak
yeah.
and they talked about how children were not getting sick
right.
by COVID. They weren't having symptoms because
right.
they didn't have the receptors that were connecting to the virus. They hadn't developed them yet.
Yeah.
But yet now we're recommending that kids
right.
get vaccinated for COVID.
Well,
and I don't get it.
In this whole thing we had talked about, this whole thing.
Other than money.
It scrolls. Yeah. And that's really what it is when you look at, well, who is over a lot of this stuff? And you look at, like, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is, I think, going to be phenomenal in the, they're putting him over the
I don't
FDA,
know.
I think.
Have they announced that?
I don't,
like,
he said something about it on Joe Rogan's podcast, which you guys need to listen to that as well.
Yeah.
Rogan and Trump, that was really good. But if that happens, I mean, just understanding how poisoned, because the pharmaceutical companies are the ones that, they're the ones that are putting the preservatives in the food. They're the
yeah.
ones that are spraying the crops with everything. They're the mm-hmm. ones that are giving, in this whole thing, nothing is natural. They're poisoning us, and then they're creating, quote unquote, the cure for
yeah.
us, and the cure is killing us as well. It's
yeah.
just this constant.
Well, I mean, medications have side effects.
Oh yeah.
And I can't tell you how many patients that I have seen that tell me they take ibuprofen almost
oh,
every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Or they do take it every
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
And I have also seen patients that have had to have kidney transplants
yeah.
because they damage their kidneys with ibuprofen.
Right.
But people don't, because it's over the counter,
yeah.
people don't recognize that, oh, there's like negative impact
yeah.
from, I thought it just stopped my pain
right.
and helped me feel better. But there's a negative impact to the organs that filter
yeah.
in your body. Either it's your kidneys
or
your liver.
Yep.
That's right. And so those organs are working to filter out all the, I mean, essentially
toxins.
They recognize toxins
yeah.
and poisons in your body.
And now here's the deal. Like, we're not saying in this, you know, do you go talk to your doctor about things. Is
yes.
just a disclaimer here. We're not saying come off your medication. We're not saying any of that. But you have to recognize that those medications, some may be necessary at times,
mm-hmm.
but The goal, I always tell my patients, my goal is to work with your doctor to help us get down to as few as possible mm-hmm. and get it to where your body is able to function as healthy as possible.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Glenn Beck did a really good program too, talking about how all those things are connected. The people that are putting the stuff on the plants and the people that are putting preservatives in, like all those things are all connected by the same companies that are doing everything.
Interesting.
And it's all money.
Yeah. I mean, there's good studies out there that show, especially for older people, if you are on more than four medications, your fall risk increases dramatically.
Yeah.
I mean, I see people every day who are like, I'm dizzy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many medications are you taking?
Yes.
8, 10, 12. I'm like,
yeah.
Yes. I can imagine that you feel dizzy.
And then
dizzy.
They also say, I don't drink any water.
So you're dehydrated and dizzy. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Exactly.
So
awesome. Well, hey, people, pay attention to what you're on. Educate yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's we've hit some pretty big topics. And
if you ever want more information on stuff, like just, you know, shoot us a message on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to.
Our email address is on our Facebook page as well. Love to interact with you guys. So appreciate you hanging in there with us today.
It was a little bit longer today.
It was, but it was good stuff.
Yeah.
So, hope everyone has a good week. And it was good to be with you. Have a good one.
Take it easy.
Yep.